We are pleased to welcome Barbara Collotta as our devotional speaker this morning. Professor Collotta received her bachelor's degree in speech-language pathology from California University in Pennsylvania and her master's and doctoral degrees in speech-language pathology from the University of Pittsburgh. In addition, she completed a postdoctoral fellowship from Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. Dr. Collotta joined the BYU faculty in the year 2000, where she is currently a professor in the Department of Communication Disorders and an associate dean of the David O. McKay School of Education. Her research and teaching interests are concerned with interventions to strengthen children's language and literacy skills. Sister Collotta is the mother of one son, Richard, who currently resides with his family in Virginia. She has two grandchildren. And now we'll be pleased to hear from Sister Barbara Collotta.
I was 38 years old when I joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And when I tell people that, I always notice a hint of satisfaction in my voice. And being aware of that sense of gratification has led me to reflect on why I think it's important that I'm a convert and that I was an adult when I converted. I've come to realize that being a convert at age 38 signifies several things to me. First, my age at conversion signals to me that I was mature enough to make the decision despite pressure from others to reject the church and its teachings. I was raised Catholic and practiced Catholicism until I was in college. I didn't join the church because it was the accepted thing to do. I had participated in an active search for truth, and I was able to think and reason for myself as I did so. I was tenacious in figuring out what was the right thing for me with the help of the Holy Ghost, which I didn't realize how much the Holy Ghost was leading me until after I had gone through this marvelous conversion process. But I was open-minded in the process enough to consider the possibility that what some considered a very unusual religion could be true and of great worth to me. The Spirit converted me, but I needed to be the one taking charge of the exploration. Second, my conversion reminds me that the Lord knew who I was. My conversion came after a long, painful time in my life, brought about by having rejected what I had learned about God as a child, including his guidelines for safety and peace. The conversion process told me that although I had rejected religion, God had not forgotten about me. He knew where I was in my journey, and he loved and cared about me even when I wasn't living according to his teachings. He led me to where he wanted me to be. Third, the time that I lived away from God prior to my conversion taught me that all experience has value. Some of us do learn from our mistakes, and through the gift of the atonement can be led to a better place because of them. One of my favorite scriptures is, "All these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good." Some experiences lead us away from God, and some bring us toward him. But even the separation experiences eventually bring us to a place where we desire peace, comfort, and greater understanding of the purpose of life. Having experienced another religion, lived a time without religion, and explored other faiths, broadened my perspective on other people's lives, giving me a deeper appreciation for people whose faith, background, current standards, and mistakes are different from mine. Today, I want to speak of the importance of understanding, accepting, and respecting those who may be on paths different from our own. To introduce the importance of valuing other backgrounds, I'd like to tell you about experience I have had with family members and friends. I draw upon personal experiences to share with you how important I think it is to acknowledge, accept, and love people who are of a different religion, culture, or background. Reflecting on my life and my conversion process, I have been able to identify some principles about tolerance and acceptance that have been significant to me. While I'm going to emphasize religious tolerance, these principles apply to the acceptance of cultural and experiential differences as well. First, look for commonalities. I often hear members emphasize in testimonies or in lessons how very different our church is from others. Sometimes the way we state that we have the truth implies forcefully that other religions don't have any truth. When I hear this exaggerated, I become a bit saddened. Other religions have many aspects of truth. In 1986, my brother was ordained to the Catholic priesthood. His life is very different from mine and from yours, but I have great respect for his faith and his dedication to it. As pastor of a church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, he is devoted to his parishioners, programs, and school. As I attend Catholic services when I visit my brother, I see more similarities than differences in our religions. He has a deep love for the scriptures, and I'm always touched when I hear him talk about his love for the Savior. I recall Elder Ballard's statement that all of us, regardless of race, color, or creed, belong to the family of our Heavenly Father. And I know the Lord receives my brother's love and blesses him for it. Second, accept where people are. There's a traditional saying that we judge others based on their actions, but we judge ourselves based on our intentions. If we were to give others the benefit of their intentions, our lives would be much richer as well as more tolerant. My father is an example of someone who does not have the benefits of the restored gospel in his life, but the purity and strength of his intentions have made him a powerful example to me. My father lives a very spiritual life. He goes to Mass every morning at age 94 and reads the priest's prayers morning, noon, and night. My father also says heartfelt personal prayers with a reverence like no other I have experienced. In his talk on building bridges, Elder Ballard advised all of our interpersonal relationships should be built on a foundation of mutual respect, trust, and appreciation. I know God loves and admires my father's loyalty and dedication to Christianity. My father lives according to the light he has, and he does it well. Third, reflect on the goodness in other religions. My mother, who passed away in 1992, has been outstanding in her ability to reflect on and accept the goodness in other religions. Although she, like my father, had been raised a Catholic, my mother had more ecumenical leanings than my father, since her father had been a Lutheran. But she accepted the good she found in the Catholic Church and faithfully practiced Catholicism. Her father had converted from Lutheranism to Catholicism in order to marry my grandmother. He no longer attended the Lutheran Church, but he maintained his deep faith, believed in the Bible, and longed for his own religion. because of my grandfather's goodness and his strength and the strength of his desire to worship according to the dictates of his own conscience, my mother and grandmother softened on their stance that Catholicism is the only true church. And they also accepted the good in his former religion as well. After I converted to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I told my mother about the restored gospel. She could see where it could be true, but she wanted to be loyal to my father since he believed that Catholicism is the only true church. Later, after doing my mother's temple work, I so strongly felt her presence with me. I knew that she was with me in the temple. And I am convinced that her understanding and acceptance of the restored gospel has grown on the other side of the veil. I believe that my mother's openness and my respect for her beliefs eventually led her to the fullness of the gospel. Fourth, see differences and weaknesses as part of life, a gift and an opportunity to progress. My sister is a psychiatric nurse in a child and adolescent unit. Daily, she deals with challenging teenagers who have made some very poor decisions in their lives. The psychiatrists help workers to avoid judging their patients by reminding them that these troubled teens are often the healthiest members of their families. To help these patients improve their lives, the mental health professionals must maintain this perspective in order to have patience and compassion for the young people, but still to be able to help them be responsible for the choices that they make. Many of the patients emerge stronger because they learn from their mistakes. And I found that in my life, I have grown and progressed from changes brought about from poor choices and, of course, from the painful consequences that follow poor choices. But doing so has strengthened my ability to view weaknesses in others with tolerance, as barriers that can be overcome. One of the things that I love about the gospel is the understanding that we will continue to progress after this life. That principle, in and of itself, should keep us tolerant and accepting of others, since mistakes and painful consequences can be catalysts for searching for, attaining, and ultimately appreciating deeper meaning in life. Fifth, value what we can learn from others. My son shared with me a lesson about acceptance and tolerance that he learned while he was on his mission. He served in Mexico in an area presided over by Elder Lynn Mickelson. Elder Mickelson began conducting conferences on the topic of tolerance when he became aware that some of the missionaries were making disparaging remarks about other religions. Elder Mickelson shared with me what he taught to his missionaries. Members of other religions are honorable people. They teach the commandments. They teach of Christ. In the seventh chapter of Moroni, Moroni refers to the light of Christ, and he makes it clear that people who are teaching of Christ are of him. Both Joseph Smith and Brigham Young taught that we need to gather everything good we can from everyone else in the world. The goodness and teachings of other religions often become the base for preparing individuals to accept the fullness of the gospel at a later time. Sixth, serve people from different faiths and backgrounds. I have learned much about tolerance, acceptance, and love from my friends, both in and outside the church. I would like to introduce you to two of them. About 2 years ago, McLean's Geojaja, a professor in the McKay School of Education, asked me to help with the Inner City Refugee Project, which is designed to meet the needs of refugees settling in the Salt Lake area. In the process, I met Bob and Amy Wiley, humanitarian service missionaries who devote nearly constant attention to serving individuals from very different cultures and religions. Bob and Amy have a family, but they have incorporated refugees into their family, and so they meet the needs of their family members in part by introducing them and accepting and opening up their home to these refugees. I was so touched by what I learned of their work. While conversions to the church do occur as a result of their efforts, Bob and Amy follow Elder Eyring's admonition to love and serve those who are not of our faith before we consider sharing our testimonies. Amy and Bob serve and love these refugees because they think of them as brothers and sisters in need. Because this is their motivation, the service is heartfelt and sincere. I invited Bob and Amy to be here today. Amy, and one of the refugees she serves, permitted students working in the McKay's Technology Education Computing Lab to record them as they talked about their experiences.
Sometimes the diversity scares us a little. It throws us. I have to admit, I was nervous, and different languages, different cultures, different foods. For so long I thought, I will serve more when I have more time, when my children are older. I'll serve more when I'm more educated and feel more capable. And I'll serve more when I have more money and I have more to give. And I think, how many did I pass over because I was thinking of myself and what I didn't have to offer? I met Saran early in our times of service. I could never just say that the women that are important to me in my life are anything less than a sister.
My name is Saran Nahas. I'm from Sierra Leone, West Africa. I had to flee my country because of the war. One day the good news came that we have to be resettled to the United States. Everybody was jumping, oh, dancing. We are so happy. Oh, America is a land that flows with milk and honey. America is 6 miles from heaven. Everybody says that in Africa. It is a slogan now.
I believe strongly that, as the scriptures tell us, those that come to the promised land are brought by the hand of the Lord. And I have yet to see anyone and meet anyone that the Lord has brought in whatever way He chooses to bring them, that I don't feel like they are here for a purpose.
On arrival, I said, oh, is this the land that is flowing with milk and honey? I didn't see milk and honey yet. So everything was upside down. Fortunately for me, I met with Amy, who is my best friend, my best American friend, my mother, my everything in America.
As we went forward with the confidence that this was the Lord's work, my mind and heart opened up. And now I consider that I have a family made up of the nations. And what a blessing that is for me and for my family and my children.
I never knew about the importance of helping people until I came to the United States. When I came to the United States, I see all these people trying to help me.
Yes, they need American things. But more than the things, they need somebody that they can consider a friend, somebody who comes to love them. The entire concept of love changes when we can truly, truly stand and testify that God loves all His children.
She came into my life at the time that I really need help. That's the whole thing about Amy. She's so great. She's my, best friend and everything.
I learned through this service that the great miracle of service is that both the giver and the receiver are blessed. I am more accepting. I am willing to consider other points of view more quickly. Diversity does an incredible thing to you. It helps you open your mind, your eyes, your heart, and know that we're capable of so much more. Anybody can reach out and have these same life-altering experiences that I have if we're just willing to take a step into a little bit of the unknown.
The friendship is the most important thing. Without Amy in my life, I wouldn't have been doing what I'm doing now.
President Hinckley often admonished in general conferences to love and to accept our neighbors, those who are not members of our church, to reach out to those of different cultural and religious backgrounds. I always strongly felt the Spirit when he would deliver this counsel. I knew we were receiving prophetic advice to extend Christ-like love beyond the members of the church. It is by our fruits, especially our love and service, that those from other backgrounds know that we follow Christ. Seventh, give a soft response when criticized. As we are careful to show respect for others, we also wish that others would show respect for our principles, our worship, and our lifestyle. When we encounter individuals who are critical of our church, we must be careful to avoid engaging them in contentious debate, which does not bring out the best in any individual or religion. As I mentioned, one of my brothers is a Catholic priest. Ironically, my other brother disregards religion altogether and negates Christian doctrine. I'm so careful in my dealings with him to avoid saying things that will drive away the spirit or fuel the debate. And as a matter of fact, when I have conversations with him, I pray constantly that I will say the right thing or that I will be able to lead the conversation or gracefully end the conversation without contention or without driving away the spirit. I've also encountered friends who've been critical of my beliefs. Although frustrated, I have been careful to respond mildly and respectfully. After several such instances, friends have apologized to me for their harshness. Their hearts had been softened because of my soft response. I began talking about my conversion. Many years have passed since the days I entered the waters of baptism. And if you can remember what I looked like in 1986 in that picture at my brother's ordination, you'll realize that I have a lot more gray hair now than I did then. So, but it's the passing of time that has given me even a greater appreciation for the good I encountered when I was growing up in a religious home and for the good that I've encountered over the years in individuals from very different backgrounds and religions. When I think back on participating in the Catholic religion as a child, then rejecting a spiritual way of life during my youth, then being led by Heavenly Father to the church, I become weak in my knees and overcome with gratitude. I am grateful for each encounter I have had before and after becoming a member of the church with individuals from different faiths and backgrounds who have enriched my life. I am in awe as I re-examine the path that brought me to this place. And I am just stunned that here I am at Brigham Young University. But along the way, I have developed a commitment to being respectful and understanding of others. I believe that we draw nearer to Christ as we love, serve, and accept those from different cultures and backgrounds, including those that have made serious mistakes or who aren't practicing religion. It's my prayer that we can all have respect that our Savior would have us have for our brothers and sisters, because they are His brothers and sisters inside and outside of the church that He loves and for whom He atoned. Brothers and sisters, I leave these things with you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ.